All right, folks, we're back with another. Rob's apparently, is that Chewy over there? Rob's apparently tired of doing podcast episodes, but we're back with the work zone.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. Like, mm-hmm. it's been a big deal since I was a kid. I remember being at Nationals in 1987, people talking about the work zone.
That damn work zone.
But
we puzzles my tassel.
I think people have the wrong idea of the work zone. So what I'd like to talk about is what is the work zone? Where is it located? And does that location change with different speeds and line lengths?
Are we going to agree on this?
No, we're not. We never agree. But that's why we do this together, because we give people two different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Define the work zone.
The zone that you work.
Okay, but what does work mean?
Sorry, sarcasm. So moving on from flow, moving on from
good load, bad
alignment,
load.
Good load, bad load. Good load, bad load is a big one. Whether it's come out or yet, I don't know. But if it hasn't, then wait for it, I guess.
It's out.
Enjoy that one. You think it's going to be out?
Yeah, I
think
it will be. Go in order.
So for me, work zone is something that's a mystical realm of annoyingness.
Oh.
I feel like...
Oh, you don't want to talk. You don't like this topic.
It annoys me because people think it's either a workload or no work zone. You know, and people wait and be patient for a second. Like, I sound so sassy in these.
That's okay. You're just being your true self.
You're just digging into my gripes and grames on the song.
You're just being the real Rob.
This is the real Rob. Rob sassy, really?
Yep.
We're going with that one. I'm just hyped up on peanut M&Ms.
All hyped up.
The work zone for me annoys me because everybody tries to work at second wake. Everyone tries to do nothing, attack second wake. But then I also ask them, okay, when are you meant to edge change? Because most of the people who think that they have to work at the second wake also think that they've got to edge change at the first wake. So it's like, you know, it's like that same kind of trend of everybody sees these skiers look like they do barely anything because the ski's there, they're set, they're driving, and then they're accelerating. But how are you meant to do your hardest work at the exact same time as you're meant to edge change? This to me causes either pulling long if you hold your position well. It causes loss of position because people are trying to attack as they edge change, and the only way to do that is to then pick your knees up, drop your hips back, and smush through the edge change.
No smushing, folks.
To answer,
stop
we
doing
do not
that.
Like smushing. And to answer your question, I'd say my answer: the work zone for me is first starts at first whitewash at the latest. And I think this whole attacking second wake for me is a problem because people are then putting in the most work at the place with the most turbulence. So that you're trying to do nothing, drive, but now you're hitting wakes. And whether it's a Malibu, it's a Nautique, no matter what it is, there's turbulence there and there's a lot of it. So for me, I like to think, okay, let's see how much speed we can carry into first wake. Moving on from good load, bad load, let's see how much of that good load, how much efficiency, how strong can our position be while we can push ourselves as forward as we can into that first wake, and then we hold that movement. And for me, whether you're going to like this or not, I'm unsure, but for me, I want to be driving into first wake, and then the only thing that I'm adding from first wake through to second whitewash is holding my load. I want to keep that circuit building. Mm-hmm. And the only real movement that I'm going to start to try do is to try drive that handle forwards, and ideally that's when my big move of rotation is going to start. It's going to build up so that at second wake, it's at its fastest and strongest. Ideally, I'm not very good at that. I'm working on it now. But ideally, work zone is into the first wake. We then hold our load in the circuit to get more speed. So work into first wake, hold your load while starting to move into the rotation that then kicks off the edge change. So by the time you edge change, you've already got the rotation slightly started. And then we have power to move out. To me, if you hit work zone is at the second wake, then you're trying to do the hardest work with the edge change, with the movement, with the rotation, with the hand.
Too much.
And it never, ever, ever works. So
I
for
agree.
Me, to answer the question, work zone is first wake to second wake, or first whitewash to the start of the dip, second dip.
Yeah. I think
a passionate spell on that one.
I think it's great. I think it's simplest terms. I would agree completely with that.
Yeah, good. Look at that. We're getting on.
But could I just take a deep dive?
Oh, yeah.
You ready?
Uh-oh.
Okay, what's work defined in like the classical physics sense? Does anybody know here?
To me, to answer that, you just go back to the last podcast of load and efficiency and you click that one, and then that's when you see what good load is. Then if you're getting that good load, that's what you then work into, and then you put more work into good load, and that's then work.
I think you know what work is. If you're chopping wood, you know what it is. It's like
hard work.
How much wood can you chop in a given time?
How much ouch you get.
So work for the in the sense that we're talking about here is usually defined as force applied through a distance.
Oh God.
So if we take that,
we've got spiritual and physics and odd
and mix. We say, yeah, it's a great mix. It's actually bringing everything together. So if you take force through a distance, mm-hmm. right? And you say, okay, well, that's the work done. And we all know that we're being pulled around by a boat. So if we can stay connected to the boat, you don't want to listen?
I'm trying.
You want to pull out TikTok?
I'm trying to listen. It's going off my head.
So how do you move through a slalom course? What pulls you?
Boat.
The boat. How? By way of?
Prop.
Yes, the prop. But I'm talking about, what are you hanging on to? The prop? You're going to lose your hands.
I'm hanging on to the pole.
What are you hanging on to?
Pole.
You're hanging onto the pole by way of the rope, handle, all right? Yeah. So you're hanging onto the pylon. So think about the pylon and how much force is on the pylon.
A lot.
No, I'm just think about force on the pylon.
Mm-hmm.
My contention is work is force times distance. So mm-hmm. if you can have more force on that pylon through more distance in the course, then you're doing more work on the boat, or the boat's doing more work on you, which is really what you want. You want to be able to stay connected to the boat as long as you can.
Mm-hmm.
So if we really think about it, the work zone for me is really any time that there's tension on the rope, as in the most defined sense. So I'm going way big, and
would
I'm going to
say
I'm gonna
increasing
zero in.
Tension on the rope or just tension
no,
on the rope?
Because decreasing tension on the rope, who is better at managing the unload, can do more work going outbound into the next.
I'm like I'm in Shakespeare.
Yes. So, point is, in the broadest sense of the word, the more tension you can have on the rope throughout the course, the more work, good tension, the more work you can do on the boat, that means the more space you can create and the more time you have for things. Now, if we're going to go into like the classical term for a work zone, if we want to bring this into like something that you can understand and focus on social media and the Instagram story you're putting up right now, I would say the work zone is from the time, it's a progressive work zone. It's not just like do work, like you're on here and then you're off there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a progressive build from the time you get two hands on the handle and the boat starts to load you until somewhere center line, second trough, somewhere in there. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
And of course, this is like ideally a shorter line slalom. I think sometimes at longer rope lengths, shorter speed, slower speeds, you might need to hold that a little longer because the forces are different. Yeah. So the work zone maybe shifts
and
a little
later.
Would
you say I don't think that's necessarily a timing thing of what the moment. It's maybe just that dispersion takes longer.
Yes.
And the time, one, you've got more time in between boys, I would say. I guess the boat's going the same speed, but the rope's longer. I don't even know how that works. but I would say in a simple term is the slower you go, the longer the rope you go, the longer that movement on the load takes. So I still want to make sure that we're set behind the boat, we're driving into first wake, but that's maybe going to be slightly smoother of a transition. At 39, it has to be aggressive, because as soon as you're lazy, you get pulled off your edge.
Yeah.
So at say 15 off, 32 mile an hour, we're going to turn in, we're going to maybe be slightly more patient on that load, but we're still going to be doing I would still like to see people doing as much as they can to propel themselves forwards, to flow into first wake, to have all that good load we possibly can with a good position into first wake. And then we'd keep that same movement, aggressive into first wake, hold and start to move into that kind of rotation part of the edge change nice and early. And then as we hit that second trough, we then start moving into and through that edge change, and that then takes longer. That is people pull long and then rush their edge change.
Yep.
Instead of attacking second side and then really trying to squeeze every single bit of direction they can out of that edge change.
Control the transition,
And that's and this is maybe something we should do in a future podcast.
Yeah, we should.
But something talking about flat skiing.
Yeah.
I love flat skiing.
Everybody loves flat skiing.
But I feel like this whole thing of flat skiing, and this is completely on the wrong, I've jackknifed the podcast, but don't be, in my opinion, depending on how you look at flat skiing, don't be afraid to... as we move through that edge change, to feel like we flat ski through it, to feel like we take that movement through here takes as long as we like. I think
it's a good cue for controlling the rate of that change.
Because I was always taught edge to edge, so I'd go, and now I'm inside and flat, you know, and now I'm at the buoy. So we've done the whole thing that flat skiing is trying to solve. But that's for a whole another podcast.
But to spin off of that, what's interesting about flat skiing is hydrodynamics wise, if you take a ski, Why every time when I say a word that means something, do you get all balled up?
What do you mean balled up?
You get all, oh God. Oh my God.
I'm just going towards physics realm. I left school for this reason. I hear physics and go,
unfortunately, you're going to have to know a little bit about it. Otherwise, you're just, you know, you're going to be living in a dark hole. You're going to be an ostrich with his head in the sand. Okay, let me get through this.
Sorry.
If you take a ski and you put it on edge, it's less efficient at lifting, which means it creates more drag because more of it has to be in the water to support you. So if you're always edge to edge, you don't have as much glide. So the point of that is, to your point, if you can efficient or maximize your time through that edge change to control it and find a little more time on a kind of a lower roll angle or a flatter ski for a second through that outbound move, you're more efficient, you're faster, and you can get to that higher point sooner.
It's quicker. And that...
But I wasn't quite done yet with the work zone. Sorry. The last thing I'll say is those are kind of my idealistic approaches, and in reality, in the real world, things don't always go as planned. So if you get a kind of a slow turn or a late acceleration, people can't be afraid, in my opinion, you may not agree, can't be afraid to like shift the work zone slightly.
Later or earlier.
If you get a late acceleration, you're gonna have to take the same amount of work and kind of extend it closer to the next buoy.
For sure.
And then we have to develop coping mechanisms to then get back on rhythm into the next buoy. Yeah. But point is, you need a certain amount of swing to get out to that next ball, and if you get that late turn or that slow turn, your buddy's telling you to be patient that day, and you're like, I don't know, I'm gonna try it. It doesn't work.
When someone tells someone else to be patient.
Then you have to be okay, kind of letting that work zone be a live and breathing thing and moving.
So I feel like the first thing that I ever thought, wow, that was thought well in my head, which is not that much thought well in my head, but it was a way of explaining to people that you need a certain amount of speed to get to the buoy.
Yep.
You need 50 mile an hour, say. It's like a plane. If you don't get 50 mile an hour, you don't take off.
88 miles an hour.
So this whole patience thing and this whole move, and I think it comes back into your point perfectly of moving the work zone, you need to have a certain amount of speed by first wake to be able to get through behind the boat, through the edge change, through that nice flat ski face, through that movement out throughout to the buoy. You have to have a certain amount of speed by first wake, in my opinion, to get through all of that.
Yep.
And if you're being patient, or even second wake, maybe would it be a better way of saying it, but an ideal word, by first wake, and then it slowly builds as it will build as we get to second wake.
Yep.
But you need to have that speed and that aggression into the first wake to be able to get out there. I see so many people have been so patient and just trying to kind of meh, and drift towards the wake.
That's a good sound.
And then attack second wake. But I'm like, no, you haven't got enough speed already to have that drive and swing up that second side through the edge change. And that's what it is. It's a swing. And the edge change, we're no longer cutting. We're no longer driving. No. If you're trying to pull through your edge change, if you're having a huge issue with pulling long, I feel like so many people have a huge issue with pulling long. Not because they try and move it early, but purely because they don't have enough drive and intensity into first wake.
Yep.
Whether you get a good turn or a bad turn, commit into that first wake, and then you will all of a sudden have enough of that swing to then allow you to move. And we talked about this in last year's podcast a bit, I remember, is you need this to get this, right? So I think it's a good capping off of work zone is don't be afraid to attack it, you know. Yes, the
progressively, but earlier than you think.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see people kind of spiking the load or like saving their load until like second wake and kind of dropping that shoulder. I mean, I see it quite a bit. I don't think that's because they're unable to do it the right way. I think it's because they just are trying to do it the wrong way, which is waiting, and then trying to kind of like hammer it.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, like, don't be afraid to progressively get into that work zone and start building sooner than you think if you think that you shouldn't be doing it till second wake.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's my biggest bugbear, I would say. This is probably my biggest bugbear.
What about slow
speeds?
Exactly
the same thing.
How long, though? Does a work zone stay the same length or can you extend it?
So I actually see the other way. I see at slow speeds, 34K, which is, I mean, what, 24 mile an hour? Like, we're talking learning. If you're learning to run the course. My biggest thing is people are afraid of the wakes. Rightfully so. They're huge. They crack my head open at 26 mile an hour.
Soft head.
I tomahawked into the first wake. It was the first time everyone had a 37K. Nose. Jumped that wake like a big boy.
Is there video?
Nose dived. Oh, it was like five. They didn't even have cameras in.
You're not that old. I'm sorry to say.
Feels like it. No. I actually feel like it becomes, the workload becomes earlier. So I, again, same thing. What's, we can't cut over wakes very well. And if you're learning, or if you're at 34K, 37K, 40K, 23 to 7 mile an hour, yeah. I don't know, somewhere in there. I'm not American. You are not going to be able to accelerate behind the boat. So what you're going to do is you're going to do nothing into the first wake. You're going to hit that first wake. It's going to knock you off balance. You're now going to be flat, but now you've been told to edge. So now you lean on the shoulder. Now there's a second wake that you got to deal with. You're now scared still. You then try dive over it. You then realize that you haven't done enough. And on the way down the second wake, you go, oh no, I've got to go. You go to then drive really hard. Then you're doing a lot of movement, a lot of sketchiness, a lot of falling. And what's the fall that most beginners do? It's the shoulder forwards and out the front. Yep. And that, in my opinion, is all due to not having enough speed into the first wake. The wakes are very scary, so what do? We hold still through them. So in my opinion, this could be a whole video. I want more speed into first wake, as much as you can get into that first wake. Mm-hmm. Your sole goal through the wakes, from wake to wake, or whitewash to whitewash, is to hold your speed. And at this level, at the slow level, the only goal is to hold your speed and hold your edge. Because I feel like people try to go for more, and then it knocks them the other way. So instead of going, hey, if you can go for more, great. But for most people, if you purely go with the goal of, okay, I want you to take as much speed into first wake as you can, so that means you're going to have a slightly earlier workload, and your only goal is to hold your edge and your speed, do not allow yourself to slow down by holding position, holding edge, holding angle, all of this stuff, you will be so much of a better skier, and you'll be able to run all of those shorter landings so much easier. And
I agree.
The biggest thing that I see a lot of in open water skiers. They go completely flat.
Which I would say, it's a chicken or the egg, but it does go back to stance on the ski and understanding good load, bad load, being able to use your arms properly. Because if you are in a bad position, it's really hard to trust staying on edge.
I would almost argue it doesn't matter. I don't care if your position is absolutely trash. I don't care if your butt is literally touching your fin.
Is it not going to be harder?
It's going to be harder, but I do not care.
You still want them to go for it.
Not even go for it. If anything, I'm asking you to go for it less. I'm asking you to attack into first wake and then hold. Hold your position. Okay. Holding still is safe, no matter what your position is. Mm-hmm. So it's more dangerous when people have bad position. They go flat for the wakes. They then realize, oh, I want to get the next boy. Then they drive really hard. Then movement in bad position is, one, dangerous. One, you're going to crash. Two, you're going to pull something. So no matter your position, I would go as far to say workload is into that first wake, and then it's a hold phase. We hold angle, we hold speed, we hold everything.
Would you say the same thing at like 30 miles an hour, 32 miles
No, an hour? Because the wakes are then incredibly close, and you don't have wake, and you, by that point, I would hope that you're confident enough to hold your edge through the wakes a lot more. A lot of people aren't still. But even then, you're then at that awkward phase where there's kind of still one wake, kind of two wakes. You've got to maybe jump them to get over that dip. So even then, I'd say attack into that first wake, and then if you're uncomfortable through those wakes, don't try go for more, try moving around, or do this whole attacking the second wake thing when you're already uncomfortable. Think about it as, I want to get as much speed, like we talked about at the start of the podcast, moving into the wakes. And then just feel like whatever happens, we hold our angle, hold our edge, hold our position through those wakes until we can start to let that edge change happen.
Would it be safe to say that, kind of in general, skiers who aren't effective at using the work zone are either splitting it into like two parts or pushing it too way late. Too late.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to get across is, don't be afraid to start creating a work zone earlier, and before this is, into that first whitewater.
And this is not in the turn. This is not turn.
No.
We're still winning that set, that pause, that draw, that feeling of moving into first wake, in my opinion, for most people. Again, we can't hit every single person in this podcast. There's going to be some people that are going to take this and it's going to be wrong for. But like you say, I think that's perfect.
Ask below in the comments.
People either split the work zone to where, like you say, exactly right, where you work, go flat, work again, and that second work is usually when you go out the front and fall on the shoulder. Or they're going too hard too late, to the point where they don't have enough speed in, they have to do too much too late, so they either pull long, again, they fall out the front on that shoulder, and it just causes problems. It's a flow. Look at the episode of flow. We rambled a bit, obviously. Yep. We always do. But
Continuous movement.
It's about continuous movement. And I think that word that you just said there is a perfect cap to it. It's continuous movement.
Yeah.
We always want to be building. We always want to be moving, but don't be afraid to carry more speed into first wake.
Speed is your friend.
This was a passionate episode for me.
I love it.
I see so many.
So much going on out there.
So much going on there.
But it's because we see how simple skiing can be if you break it down.
It's not simple. This is not what I don't want people to go is we're talking all this. Yeah. And it's like, oh, they think it's simple. Oh, they don't know how hard it is. I know exactly how hard it is.
Execution is hard, but the actual how to do
it's
things.
It's an incredibly simple sport that we still can't do.
Yeah.
But the basics of it are simple.
Simple to talk about, hard to execute.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
But it's very hard to do anything right if you're not even aware of what the goal should be. Yeah.
No, I agree.
Gotta have a goal to aim at.
Gotta have the goal to aim at. I love it.
Are you ready to go get in the works on right now, Rob?
I am ready. We're actually going to... Last time I said I was going to ski, we didn't ski. We sat and filmed this one, but...
We're going to go ski right now.
Thank you so much, y'all.
That was a work zone.
Thank me for watching. Yep. Comments below, like, subscribe, I guess. I don't even know where this is going on the Flow Point
channel.
Keep
a lookout. Yeah.
Keep a lookout. And
talk
soon.
See
you in the next one.
Peace.